Hi there, welcome to this edition of the Arts Roundup. I'm Gerwin Jones, and real glad that you could join me. Today I'll be bringing you an overview of historic, contemporary, and future cultural events taking place in or emanating from our cultivated island of Cuba. I'll be right back. The Leo Brower and Roberto Valera National Music Awards will focus the tribute of the 33rd International Choir Festival, which will be held in Santiago de Cuba between October the 28th and November the 3rd this year coming up. In statements to the media, the president of the event's organizing committee, Daria Abreu, said that on the occasion of the 80th birthday of both artists, gala shows will be held in which their works as composers and directors will be staged, especially in choral performances. Abreu said that groups from Venezuela, South Africa, the United States, France, Ecuador, and Mexico will be taking part, which will fraternize with Cuban groups such as the National with De Profundis and Entre Voces formats, and those of Vila Clara and Ciego de Ávila and the Madrigalista Santiago. Nestled amid the lush green landscapes of the Cuban countryside, the small village of Birán was thrown into the spotlight as the birthplace of late Cuban revolutionary leader Fidel Castro, who would have turned 93 on August the 13th. The Castro family homestead in this tiny hamlet in Cuba's eastern Holguín province, named the Birán Historic Complex, has become a must-see attraction for Cubans and foreigners alike interested in the legacy of Fidel and his brother Raúl and Ramón, what they left behind there. Here you see the whole process of the historic development of this place from the turn of the 20th century until the triumph of the Cuban Revolution and the process of distributing the land to the farmers, said the complex's director, Lázaro Castro, who is unrelated to Fidel's family. Looking back in history, Spanish-born Ángel Castro Arguiz and his Cuban wife, Lina Ruz González, owned a 26-hectare sugar plantation on which they raised 7 children, including 2 future presidents, Fidel and Raúl. After the triumph of the 1959 revolution, Fidel launched Cuba's agrarian reforms by giving away the plantation to the peasants who worked the land. What draws people's attention first to the complex is the family pantheon that holds the remains of Fidel Castro's parents, grandparents, and siblings. Fidel himself requested that his ashes be deposited in the Santa Ifigenia Cemetery in the nearby city of Santiago de Cuba. The family's 10-room home, destroyed by a fire in 1954 and later rebuilt, serves as one of the main buildings and historical repositories. Though being mostly a replica, it does preserve the room where Castro was born, as well as the part of the house the three brothers shared. A small schoolhouse preserves the 33 desks at which local students sat, including the one that young Fidel occupied in the front row when he was learning to read. A little further away is the spacious house Ángel built for his son, Fidel, after he graduated from law school, hoping he would return to live and work on the family plantation. That did not pan out, but the building did serve as an alternative family residence following the 1954 fire. Visitors can also stop by the Mail Telegraph office, butcher shop, home of Granma Dominga, the hotel, Main Street, bakery, candy store, La Paloma bar, and cockfighting ring. The small cinema is long gone, but it endures in the memory of the locals. The complex displays 1,700 objects of historical value and has been declared a national monument in 2008. Ángel Castro built a small community where you could find all the services the more or less 150 residents who lived there might need, said Lázaro Castro. In every corner of this place, both Fidel and Raúl and the other siblings are alive and teaching us more and more how we can and should do things, says Lázaro. In Havana, on Tuesday the 20th of August, Cinema 23 and 24 premiered the documentary about the life and work of the Cuban ethnologist, anthropologist, and writer Natalia Bolívar. Under the direction of Ernesto Daranas, the film entitled Natalia proposes an approach to the personality of the intellectual who, at 84 years of old, lives with two of her daughters and is preparing her autobiography. In 74 minutes, several working days are summarized, in which new passages from the life of the renowned specialist in Cuban religions of African origin are explored. With the production of Cinsante Films, an RTV commercial, the documentary was made by a team of professionals, including assistant director Laura Daranas, producers Adriana Moya, Joel Ortega, and Luis Tejera, photographer and editor Rafael Felo Garcia, and the musicians Juan Antonio Leiva and Maida Rosa Galban. Bolivar has a multifaceted work in which her lectures in several countries on religion and her work on feature films and plays such as Strawberry and Chocolate stand out. Amongst her publications include the text The Orishas in Cuba, Itutu, Death in Afro-Cuban Myths and Rituals, and Myth and Legends of Afro-Cuban Food. The exhibition Lost Documents, Children of Chernobyl in Cuba by the Peruvian artist Sonia Cunliffe is now on display at the Fototeca de Cuba. The exhibition has documents and audiovisuals on the stay in the Caribbean island of thousands of Ukrainian children affected by the greatest nuclear disaster in history that occurred on April the 26, 1986. Sonia Cunliffe has highlighted the solidarity associated with the event, the love of thousands of Cuban doctors, and even the unconditional work of those who mediated as translators. She said that the genesis of the idea for the exhibition took place in 2011 while she was visiting Cuba. On that occasion, she decided to visit the town of Tarara to investigate the children of Chernobyl. Later, in 2015, another work project brought her back to Cuba, where she linked up with the Cuban journalist Maribel Acosta and decided to undertake further research. According to Sonia, every detail of the story can be found in this multidisciplinary exhibition, evidence of the human magnitude of a project that lasted 21 years and welcomed 26,500 children. Maribel Acosta has pointed to the research and artistic dimensions of the exhibition, an interdisciplinary event that links photographic, journalistic, musical, and medical work. The exhibition contains audiovisual interviews, shows files, objects used in the program, and has sound mixes and music especially prepared. The free comprehensive care program for infants victims of the nuclear accident was initiated on March the 29th, 1990, when Fidel Castro received the first 139 children and announced his willingness to receive no less than 10,000. And that's it from me for today on the Arts Roundup. I'm Gerwin Jones.